This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Dave McNair joins me live in studio, reporter at The Hook, online at readthehook.com. And you have this week's cover story, which is, has been a little late because of snow in Pennsylvania, where The Hook is printed. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, it just arrived, I think, this afternoon, midday. Usually gets in those red boxes on late Wednesday. So
yeah,
I'm actually just looking at this cover story for the first time.
And the title of of your cover story this week. But before we talk about that, let me ask you: You've been shoveling the snow? Do you draw that straw at your house?
I'm afraid so. Yes.
I was saying earlier, I know my driveway now intimately. Like I've never known my driveway before. Every little nook and cranny and curve and corner, and we've become good friends.
Yeah, well, I don't have a stomach for shoveling. I shovel what I can, and then I grind my tires and burn out of my driveway.
That's what Bill Bowling was saying. The mountain man approach is just to, you know, let the spring take care of it. Until then, you just drive over
it. I also park my car on the side of the road, which annoys my neighbors.
Oh, now see, are you one of those? You don't do the driveway parking in the snow? You park like...
Well, I dig a little. I'm not in the road, you know, but I have a very steep driveway, like very steep. And so shoveling it.
So you don't even try that. You don't.
It's pretty grim.
Do you make like one of those little car nests?
Yes.
Where you can sort of
car nest.
Where you can put your car until the driveway is clear.
Yes.
There you go.
That's what I do.
And I'm one of those folks who I'll put the car at the very end of the driveway.
Right. Yeah. You don't want to shovel a whole driveway.
No. God no. But you end up doing it
anyway. Actually, in the beginning of the storm, I had a huge problem because I didn't have a shovel.
You're kidding.
And I wasn't able to get a shovel until the last snowstorm, when I waited in line for an hour at Martin's Hardware and finally got a shovel.
Oh my gosh! And you're kidding? It was that
crowded? that first snowstorm. I went all the way to Rutgersville. I went to the Lowe's in Rutgersville. I went to every store. Nobody had any shovels.
That was the one right before Christmas. You mean?
Yeah, yeah. There was no shovels anywhere.
Wow, but you got one now.
Yeah, I think everybody, there's a learning curve. I think everybody now knows how to use a shovel.
Yeah, yeah. How do you avoid it?
I don't think that was the case before that storm in December.
Yeah, but see, now we've lived in the snowiest winter in Charlottesville history. We're professionals now. This 1 to 2 inches on Monday, we laugh at that, Dave.
We've grown.
We have. Yeah. We're better people as a result of this snow.
Well, I grew up in New England, so.
Where?
In Massachusetts.
Really? So what part? Massachusetts.
I'm used to
beautiful
this.
State.
I'm used to
it's
this.
It's a lot like Virginia. It's very historic.
Except colder.
You got beaches. You have mountains. Mm-hmm. It's you have farms. You have cities. It's mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Nice people too.
It's a pretty place.
And Boston is a very fun town.
It's very fun. Yeah.
Did you used to party there a lot?
In Boston. Yeah, I only lived about 50 miles away, so I spent a lot of time in Boston.
Is that what they say, Boston?
I'm still a huge Red Sox fan, you know. I go to all the Martin Scorsese movies and, you know.
There you go. Dave McNair from The Hook. He's the author of this week's cover story. It's called Corks and Curls. How did the death of a 119-year-old UVA tradition go unnoticed? How did it? What is the answer to that question? How did it go unnoticed?
Well, that's what the...
People just didn't care?
That's what the article kind of explores, and that's what I was interested in. Because, yeah, I did find out, January 21st or somewhere around there, I just, you know, sort of asked, you know, what's happening to Corks and Curls? Asked the dean of students, and then he referred me to somebody else, and they said, we'll get back to you. and then they came back and said, well, I guess it's not going to be published this year.
So the yearbook at UVA is dead after 119 years. It's then the students don't care. They're like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. In fact, then I proceeded to ask some students about it, and they were like, I don't care. I didn't even know about it. It sort of slowly started fading off the map, it looks like, kind of around, 2003, 2004, 2005. It really just started going.
Until it gets to the point where just the yearbook crew are the ones, the yearbook staff are the ones who really know about it.
Yeah, Yeah, it ended up being a little more complicated than that. It looked at first I was told, oh, it's not a funding issue, just a lack of interest because of Facebook and social networking. You know, that's how people connect now. But I did find out that, you know, there was considerable sort of mismanagement of the yearbook organization, and it looks like some, you know, indifference from the university itself. I mean, it was a student-run organization, but, you know, it's a pretty important tradition.
It's
amazing
yeah.
that no one stepped in to help out, or that the students involved didn't reach out for help.
So when we're talking with Dave McNair of The Hook, the cover story this week in The Hook is about the death of the UVA yearbook, 119-year-old publication. So when you talk about mismanagement at the yearbook, what do you mean? What happened?
Some people told me there didn't seem to be a lot of sort of marketing going on or generating interest in it. Also, there was a decision to delay the printing from the spring to the fall, which some people involved in it said that was a really bad decision because students are gone. The seniors are gone, you know, off to, you know, do their thing.
If you make it a springtime thing, like you got to buy your cap and gown,
yeah,
and you get
it,
your yearbook.
You include it in the you know, hey, get you, you know, graduate, get your thing. But they moved it to a fall like publication, and I think it was because it's a big book, it's a big production, and I think they were late, and it just made it easier, I guess. But it, you know, imagine who's gonna, you know, what senior is gonna buy the book, come back, you know, and buy the book in the fall.
Yeah, that
and then,
make
and then
any
also
sense.
The there was a tradition too of you know, students, whether you were a fourth yeah. year, you know, even if you weren't a fourth year, sometimes you bought the book every year you were here because it recorded every year you were here.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know? But in the fall, who's gonna buy a yearbook? You know, you're not thinking about buying a yearbook.
So the thing is dead, and I have to tell you, you actually quoted me in the article. I'm really upset about it because as a historian of the university and in Charlottesville, that is an incredibly valuable resource to be able to go there into those old yearbooks because, like the student newspaper, in many ways it ends up being sort of the diary, the student, the collective student diary of their experience through the years. There's mm-hmm. photographs, and you've looked at a lot of those old yearbooks. It's unbelievable what's in there, what gets recorded. It's amazing, and to think that is now gone, totally gone, and that effort will not be available for future generations, and you'll only be able to, you know, access that stuff if you are part of some little click on a Facebook page or something, assuming that's even around. It's really upsetting.
Yeah, if you've ever spent some time in the reference library with those books, they are amazing. I mean, beyond just sort of recording, you know, UVA history, it records cultural history of the time. It's really fascinating. You look at the books, you pick out, you know, 1922, like, you know, and you get an incredible snapshot of the, you know, the youth culture at that time, or 62, or, you know, 72, yeah. 84, you know, 1895, you know,
it's
pretty, it's precious material.
And is it because not only moving the publication date, but also just so outrageously expensive now to make a big book like that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah,
right?
It's somebody told me like in 2003, 2004, it cost, you know, like $100,000, $110,000 to create like 1,600 copies. And the book that recently I think was going for like $85. But, you know, if you sold 1,000 copies, you know,
yeah,
you cover that cost. But, you know, some staffer told me that like in 2008 they sold 250 copies.
Oh, you're kidding.
So
that was it.
That's really, you know, that's like a little over $20,000. That's not enough to keep things going.
So is there any word on the street about what might happen to it? Is there going to be like a website or anything?
Yeah, there's some alumni quickly got on this and formed two Facebook websites. What's it called? Corks and Curls Alumni Association and Help Corks and Curls to try to generate interest to save the yearbook.
Yeah.
So there's you know, alumni were really, some alumni really, you know, upset about that.
I wouldn't be surprised if one day, we're talking with Dave McNair of The Hook and his article about the Corks and Curls is in this week's edition. It just hit the newsstands. I wouldn't be surprised. It's funny how we call it newsstands, isn't it? You just hit the red boxes.
Dun, 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 dun.
You don't think about that until you're like, when I was in New York over the holidays, and you actually see newsstands, and you realize, right, we don't have those.
That's what we need. We need a guy going, get your hook here, get your hook.
Yeah. I mean, didn't we have a newsstand on the downtown mall for a while, that little round building?
Yes. I missed that.
I missed that, too. That was really cool.
He couldn't make it go.
Again. And there was also a place on the corner back in the 90s called, Dylan did that, Cafe News. And it was like Bodo's meets newsstand. Right. And it was tons of newspapers and magazines and like bagel sandwiches.
Right.
But it never really caught on enough to stay. But at any rate, so I wouldn't be surprised one day to see this come back, to see it resurrected, you know, only because of the excitement of resurrecting an old tradition. You see what I mean?
Exactly. And I think, I think that you know, the powers that be, you're not going to like this press. You know, it's not good press either for them, you know, to have on their website, then the Dean of Students website, it describes, you know, 7 or 8 UVA traditions, you know, that students can expect when they come here. And one of them is Corks and Curls. You know, it's an important sort of document, and the fact that it sort of disappeared and no one seemed to notice, and there's some confusion about noticing it, like, news report, like when I was making inquiries, like there was no news stories and nobody knew anything. And then slowly, as I started asking questions of people, like news stories started to appear about
it. As Dave McNair starts doing some research, all of a sudden Cavalier Daily runs news a quick stories, story saying, hey,
news stories started appearing everywhere. And obviously they were trying to, trying to get out ahead of the thing. But most of the stories missed the fact that, you know, last year's yearbook wasn't published either.
Yeah. You know, this isn't something that just happened.
No.
It died and nobody noticed that it wasn't here.
And eventually, you know, I think the Washington Post picked up on it too, and they got it right. But not until, you know, you know, we started asking questions. And so that's not good.
Yeah.
It's from the university's perspective. And I wouldn't, you know, why would they want to let something this great, you know, disappear?
Yeah, it'd be great to see the university step in or somebody step in somewhere.
Well, I think they're lobbying the Alumni Association. They've helped out in the past.
Yeah. Dave McNair with The Hook. Read the story, readthehook.com, or pick it up soon. Thank you, Dave.
You're welcome.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.